Hey folks, welcome. As you're coming in, if you could do me a favor, we are expecting a pretty full room. If you're on the aisle and there's seats in the middle, do you scoot in, make the seats available on the aisle as people are getting in? We have a lot of stuff to show, and so we want to make sure we get you all in here. Come get the good seats up front. This is where all the cool stuff's going to happen. This session is the consumerization of IT. Actually, it's enabling consumerization of IT. So if that's not the session you were planning on going to, still stay, because it's a really good session. But when you fill out your feedback form, and you know that one of the questions on the feedback is, did the session meet my needs? Don't mark us down on that because you came to the wrong one. Still give us good scores all the way around. Anyway, looks like we're going to start. Okay. My name's Adam Carter, but that's less important. I'll turn the time over to Ward to start that.
No need to go off the stage.
I'm going to sit around. I'm not going far.
All right. Welcome, everybody. My name is Ward Ralston. I'm a director with our newly minted Enterprise Client Marketing Group at Microsoft, and it is indeed my pleasure to be here to talk to you about enabling the consumerization of IT. I will be joined a lot today by my partner in crime, Adam Carter, who is going to play the IT professional from the mid-90s. And we're going to show how some of the tools, technologies made available recently by Microsoft allow you to get a better grip on this trend known as consumerization of IT. I've been speaking at TechEds now for over 8 years. And for those of you who have seen me speak or been to one of my presentations know that I always give out my email address. So absolutely feel free to write that down. And if you have any questions about anything that we went over in this session, be it 2 days from now or 2 weeks from now, absolutely feel empowered to reach out to me, and I'll make sure I point you in the right direction. I do this all the time, and I suspect I'll probably get about maybe 10 or so emails out of this crowd. But know that this is I'm absolutely available to you on anything that we go over. Again, this session, Enabling Consumerization of IT, our goal here is to provide a 200-level overview of what consumerization IT means to Microsoft and what we're bringing to market to help you control it. And then we'll point you to some of the deeper 300-level sessions that go into the technologies a little bit more. I'd like to start off by getting everyone in the right frame of mind with a little video we had created that kind of hopefully shows where we are today with this trend. I love this video.
So, it's only 10 a.m. on Monday morning, and you're ready to ditch the IT field for a less frustrating career, like a lumberjack or a piranha dentist. There's a new girl who thought it would be smart to upload sensitive legal docs onto a cloud app so she could work on them from home. Sharon from finance is hovering over your desk, waiting for her turn. She bought the new robot phone that reads your email out loud while it makes your morning coffee, and she wants you to set up her company email on it. Then there's Jimbo from marketing, who wants to know if he could trade in his 3-month-old tablet he just had to have for one of those new Magic Pad Savior of the World punch screen deals, which is definitely not on the list of approved devices. And while you're trying to explain these things to Jimbo, who just keeps saying, "Man, but the punch screen is so rad," you're thinking, seriously, aren't you the one who's supposed to be making the IT decisions around here? Isn't it your job to provide employees the technology they need to do their jobs well while factoring in things like budgets and security? At least, that's how it used to be. People showed up in the morning, used whatever technology you provided them, did their jobs, and went home. And everyone started over the next morning. Things are changing. People have access to better and cheaper personal technology than they've ever had before. And technology isn't just changing how people work in general. It's actually blurring the lines between work and life by giving folks more influence and choice over how and where they work and what technology they use to get things done. This is consumerization, and it's impacting you and your company. Your job is to keep things safe, secure, and working properly. So how do you handle the risks that come with consumerization? Answer, you embrace the risks responsibly because the resulting opportunities are even greater. Consumerization is an opportunity for you to help people work in ways that better suit their jobs and their personalities. It's an opportunity to provide people with technology that makes them more productive and makes their work more enjoyable. Last time we checked, both of those things are good for business. So you have a choice. You can choose to resist consumerization, or you can choose to embrace consumerization responsibly and become a spearhead for the change it brings within your organization. Consumerization is happening, and it's good. Your organization becomes more productive with more choice. Jimbo is happy, and you're the hero. So if you're willing to say yes to the opportunities that consumerization brings, Microsoft is here to help.
All right. All right, thank you. That's the end of the session. Make sure you fill out your eval. But I think that kind of sums up, you know, where we're going with this consumerization of IT trend. I thought it'd be kind of interesting to kind of paint a picture of where we've been, because this trend really has really gained traction, I would say, in the last 3 years. And next couple slides here, I'm just kind of point, nod to where we've been, where we're going, and some of the technologies, as I mentioned, we're bringing to market to support this trend. So thinking back to 2010, you know, the trend in consumerization was, you know, there's an estimated 2 billion people will have mobile connectivity. And there were 19 million media tablets that were sold. It's actually interesting today, more people have access to mobile technology around the world than they do to bathrooms. That's how pervasive mobile technology has gotten. Last year, when we spoke at TechEd, the trend was, you know, that employees are actually bringing this personal technology to work. And if IT is not embracing this technology, they're finding a way to work around IT to work on the device that they choose. And it's pretty interesting when I was walking in here, I think every single person that I saw when I sat down was on their personal device in some form or another. And the reality is people are very precious about their devices. They're very personal to them. And as I mentioned, they're going to work the way that they want to work. From a product perspective, in 2010, we had just announced Windows Intune. We had also just announced System Center Configuration Manager 2007 R3 Beta. And forefront endpoint protection was in its beta form as well. Last year, Configuration Manager 2012 was in beta, and forefront endpoint protection 2012 was announced as well. Kind of smash cut to this year, holy cow. The trend that we're seeing around consumerization is almost explosive. Think about those 19 million tablets that were in the market 2 years ago. This year, we anticipate 68 million, it's happening. 68 million tablets are entering the market. 144 million smartphones shipped this year. Actually, over the next 5 years, there's going to be close to a billion different devices entering the market to the tune of 300 million laptops and 300 million media devices, tablets, and 800 million cell phones. And 25% of those are going to find their way into the enterprise one way or another. A couple other interesting stats I'd like to point to as focal points for the rest of our conversations today. IDC over here on your left estimates that the average power user in the U.S., which someone who has, you know, some modest disposable income, has anywhere from 5 to 7 internet-connected devices. I remember when I first heard this, I was like, there is no way that people have that many devices until I looked at my smartphone and my Nook and my laptop for work and my demo laptop. I was like, wow, people really have a lot of devices that they're connecting to the network on. And that's going to play an important factor when we talk about some of the technologies and a strategy that we should be thinking of as this trend continues. This middle one here is also very interesting. Gartner did a poll of IT organizations and asked them how many of them allow devices to be brought into work. And 6% of the organizations said that they allow devices in work. They asked the users from the same organizations how many people are bringing devices to work, and the number was double, right? So this tells us that depending on what type of organization you're in, if you don't embrace consumerization, users will find a way to work around IT, and as we all know, that is an absolutely huge risk. I'd like to get a show of hands, if I could, on how many people in here allow devices to enter their organization. Wow, excellent. Roughly half of you. And of those half, how many people have a documented device strategy? All right, about half to half. Actually, I got to say, I'm very impressed. I've done this talk within the U.S., and the handful of hands that I got, almost nobody raised their hand on a documented device management strategy. And the organizations that did, their device strategy was no devices allowed. And those ones that had a documented no devices allowed were actually government. So this consumerization trend is actually going to find footholds within organizations that are generally open to new trends, like government, financial services. Those are going to be some of the harder ones to actually embrace this trend of consumerization. Looking down here at some of the technologies that we're releasing this year alone, and by the way, in my 8 years at Microsoft, I have never seen this many products being released within a single year. You know, we just released System Center 2012, SQL 2012. Intune just came out with the June release, which we're going to be diving into today. Spring release of Azure came out. Office 15 is on its way out, in addition to two of the biggest products in the company, Windows 8, Windows Server 8, and Windows Server 2012. So there is just a ton of innovation coming to market this year. And the ones that we're going to be looking at today, specifically Windows Server 2012 and Intune and System Center, are truly catering toward that device explosion. I thought I'd give a couple points before we get into the demos. And by the way, we're going to be doing a lot of demos through the session to show the technologies. I thought it'd be interesting to kind of show how Microsoft is thinking about consumerization of IT. And again, we're one of those industry verticals that are very open to this consumerization trend, but we also are very, very cautious about the risk associated with this device explosion. 280,000 employee-owned devices are on the Microsoft network today. And that's kind of, with only 90,000 employees at the company, you can kind of do the math as to how many devices every person is bringing into the organization. One interesting thing about this 280,000 employee-owned devices is Microsoft IT itself does not support these devices. Our engineering team in charge of System Center and in charge of Intune are the ones doing the day-to-day management of all these devices. So we're taking all those learnings on what it means to responsibly bring devices into the enterprise, and we're driving that insight into the products that we create. We also have this kind of notion that our employees are trusted to do the right thing with our corporate data and be responsible with it. Most employees are generally working simultaneously on at least two devices, sometimes more. And we support over 22,000 wireless access points across the company and a total of 1.3 million devices across the company when you think about all of our routers and switches, et cetera, et cetera. So Microsoft, when we think about consumerization, we're kind of morphing ourselves. Our philosophy is we're getting out of the business of managing hardware, and we are getting into the business of managing the user, that security principle, the user, and what they have access to. And we're going to talk about the strategy on how we marry those coupled with the capabilities of the device that user owns. And one of the ways that we do this at Microsoft is we think about the consumerization trend and especially the devices associated with it in three different categories. Over here on your right is probably the one you're most familiar with, which is a fully managed IT asset. When that laptop shows up on the loading dock and we put that asset sticker on it, we manage that asset from cradle to grave, and we can control the administrator on there, what's going to be installed. We have agents that we put on there, configuration manager agents, that give us deep, full reporting on everything about that. And then we have this notion of a trusted device. And a trusted device is one that we can install Exchange ActiveSync on. So the majority of your iOS-type devices or your smartphones, Android, iOS, Windows Phone, kind of fall into this category where we can manage different aspects of that device depending on the capabilities. as well as this is what we use to enable mobile, email, calendar, contacts, et cetera. And of course, we have light reporting on this insight. And of course, on the far left here is unmanaged, right? Devices that don't have the ability to have Exchange Active Sync on. I think of my Nook reader when I think about an unmanaged device. I think the Apple Newton also falls in this category. Few people remember that, all right. Yeah, but what our philosophy is by tiering up the type of devices that come into the network and marrying that with the user's identity is we then can determine what type of access they have to data within our network. Now, another piece of this data within the network that Adam's going to show is we classify every type of data within Microsoft. It's either low business impact, medium business impact, or high business impact. So depending on your identity, the device you have will determine what type of access you have to from our different data layers. And again, I'm just setting the stage here. We're going to go into this a little bit more as we go through the demos here. The first demo that we're going to show is going to start showing these different aspects of the infrastructure. So the first aspect on this consumerization management is the intelligent application infrastructure, right? Do we have the right pieces and parts and technologies in place to actually classify the data as well as classify and manage the different types of devices? Security and access. How do we, encrypt data so that even if it does leave the network, it can't be unencrypted unless the right security principle puts in the correct credentials? And the last one is this notion that I just talked about control and governance across all the devices. Which one can we deeply manage, and which ones are trusted, and which ones are unmanaged? And, of course, at the center of all of this, is the user. It's interesting. An interesting phenomenon is also happening in the background. Devices, for the first time this year, are outselling PC shipments. And as more devices enter the network, less computers are entering the network. So what's happening when you think about Active Directory, there's only two security principles in Active Directory, and that's a user and a computer. And so as the computer security principles go away, the only one we really have to manage is the user. So that's going to be, and think about that 5 to 7 different devices each user has, right? So making the user the center of how we determine who has access, we can then determine what type of device they're on and marry that up. I'm going to bring my partner in crime, Adam, up, and we're going to show what an ideal state would look like with consumerization of IT with what we call the enabled user. So I'm going to play the user.
Yep, stay close. So Ward made a comment earlier that he said I was the system administrator of the 90s. I don't know how I feel about that. But I was a system administrator in the 90s, and my users had a nickname for me. They used to call me Dr. No, because that was my answer to everything. We need this firewall port open. No. I need to be able to use my Macintosh. No. This was how I was keeping the integrity of our data and the security of our network, was by saying no. The reality was these people had found a different way to make money for our company, and I wasn't allowing them. I was prohibiting them from being successful. So I've turned over a new leaf. I'm not that kind of administrator anymore. Go ahead. You want to log in first?
All right.
So I'm going to invite Ward to go on a trip with me. I want to paint a picture for you, Ward. I want to take you to a place where you get to choose where do you want to go today.
All right.
Even if you think different, I want to take you to a place I call Contoso.
I know that well.
So welcome to Contoso. I don't know if you realize this. We just acquired that company you used to work for, Micro something. Anyway, you work for us now at Contoso. I see you've got your desktop here.
Not to mention, thanks for the beautiful Samsung tablet device here.
Yeah, you need to expense that. We'll get to expenses here in just a minute. But let's do a quick tour of kind of how we do business here at Contoso. If you want to jump to your desktop there.
All right.
Now, one of the things that we've done is we adopted Office 365, which is great because now I'm not worried about running out of space on Exchange servers and replacing hard drives and letting somebody else take care of that for me and let me do some other things. Let's see what we can do with Office 365. So fire up your browser. And I did get a warning that the network is slow is a little slow, so we may or might see if you, can you are you able to get to. Oh, we'll see if it comes up. If not, we'll switch to a backup. Okay, we were warned this might happen. That's okay. We have a second machine here that we will switch over to. Gonna be able to click it.
Oh. All right. So thank you for everyone who has a wireless device in here right now.
Okay. So let's go ahead and let's go through some things here. Go ahead and open up Outlook, or open up the team site.
All right. So here's my team site.
Yep. Here's our team portal. You can see there's you can see some the projects that you're working on. You're going to be working on Project Cosmo, which is a very sensitive project. If our competitors at
Tailspin Toys
find out about Project Cosmo, it would have high business impact for us, as you talked about before. But you can see a couple of things here. We can see who else is working on these documents.
Okay.
We can see the presence that currently David, another coworker of ours, is online and working. Actually able to chat with him if you wanted to, start up a chat.
All right.
Let's move on to one of the things we need to do is get your expenses in. As I said, we've got to get your expenses processed. So we have a line of business application that we use for expenses. It's actually pretty slick. It's a Windows Metro style app, which isn't installed yet on your machine. So we need to get that installed. You've been sent an automated email there that has a link to it. So go ahead and.
I've never seen my inbox without one email in it ever.
So go ahead and kick that off to install this application for us.
There we go.
This is our application catalog. We've kind of got this buffet style or cafeteria style list of applications available to users. Go ahead and pick that expense application and install it.
All right, and this is Configuration Manager, correct?
Yeah, this is all being produced out of Configuration Manager.
All right, whew,
we got there, okay. So that's going to install the application for you. You can see the prompt there that it's downloading and installing.
All right.
All right. Looks like it's there. So you should be able to go out to your Start menu now, scroll over. There's the Expense Manager app. And if you fire that off, you can see this great Metro app with some expenses. Looks like you still have some of your Project Cosmo expenses that you'll need to get in there. But I know you've got places to be, so... let's switch. We could finish that there, but I know you've got places to be. The nice thing about that line of business app is it's not available just as a Metro style app. We also make it available for some other devices. I know you're a fan of Fruit branded devices, so we can actually make this available to you on your iPhone. And we'll switch again just because of the network. We'll flip you back to here.
Okay.
Let's see if it's going to come. I think we're going to need to switch.
So let me, I want to go to.
Let's see if this works. I think the lack of network might kill us. We may need to go to the backup on this one. Yeah. In the interest of time. All right, so here's your phone now. You just brought up a website, which again is a self-service portal. This is powered by Windows Intune.
Oh, cool.
What we showed before was driven by Config Manager. But Config Manager, it's great for machines that are on the corporate network. People's phones necessarily aren't. They're not putting them on the corporate network, but they are always on the internet. So managing them from the internet, from the cloud, is a great way to do it.
And so this is the Intune portal, right?
Yep. So this is the portal just brought up in the Safari browser there. Go ahead and tap on Get the App.
All right.
And again, you can see the apps that we've published. In this case, it's just the expense approvals app. You can tap on that. Prompts you to do an installation.
Installing.
And we should see it.
Installing.
Ah. There we go. Prompt you for the install.
Perfect.
Okay. So we got there. Okay. So make the app available that way too. So now you can jump on the train. You can finish your install while you're going home or whatever you do. Let's do one last demo, which is once you're at home, Again, I notice you're not using a PC at home there.
All right. So now I am on my Macintosh.
Yep.
Which this is my daughter's.
It's your daughter's Macintosh. So one of the great things about Office 365 is the web-based applications and the fact that even if you don't have Office installed on any device...
Looks like the network's going to hang on me on this one, too.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going... By the way, working off a backup machine is a lot harder than it looks.
All right, so here we are on your Mac. You can see that same portal. If you go to the Teams site there...
All right.
You can see these documents are available. If you open the expenses worksheet, we need you to get working on that. So you can see something interesting down here in the corner. The nice thing about Office Web App is it supports co-authoring right from within the browser. So we can see that our colleague David is working on the same document at the same time. And you can actually see changes in real time. As he's making changes to the document, you would see those. Again, you didn't have to install. We're showing it here on a Mac. Could be an Android device in a Chrome browser or virtually any modern browser, you would have this same experience. So very easy. You know, you got to pick and choose the device you wanted. We, as IT, I had control over what you had access to. I'm going to go sit down now that you've got your new desktop.
All right.
And I'll join you in a little bit to pull back the curtain and show how we enabled some of this stuff.
All right. So... what we ideally would have seen with a perfectly working network was how I was able to choose my device, be it a newly provisioned laptop with Office 365, I was able to be productive, as well as my iPhone, as well as a Macintosh from home. And we also saw how Configuration Manager allowed us to choose which line of business applications we wanted to install from a common portal. Intune allowed us to install applications from a multiple different device stores, be it the Microsoft Store, be it the Apple Store, or the Android Store. All of them were centrally aggregated into one place for me to either sideload or deep link those applications onto the device that I chose. One thing that was kind of common throughout everything we saw there was, again, that notion of user centricity. And when we think about the user centricity, when we think about consumerization and marrying that security principle with a device and then the different data they can choose, we think about it through three lenses at Microsoft. The first one, again, is identity, that security principle that is still there within AD. We also think about it through the control and governance of devices, which ones are trusted, untrusted, and which ones are managed. And, of course, the third pillar here is how do we protect that data, regardless of which device or the user, right? How do we encrypt that data using either RMS or potentially EFS to ensure that if ever does leave the corporate walls, that only the correct security principle can open that? All right. So digging a little deeper into Active Directory, and I always love asking this question, how many people are deploying Active Directory today? Oh, man, come on. It's got to be 100%. 100%. All right. Maybe there's a few Novell lingerers out there. But Active Directory, by large, is probably the most deployed Microsoft technology within the enterprise. We know this. And that's why it also provides the foundation for this people-centric management. As I mentioned, you know, this is the hub, the one central location where ID will be generated. Even in a hybrid world where we have Azure web services, we have Office 365, we have, you know, federated partners, identity forever and a day will be generated on premises. And then we can use Active Directory Federation services to bridge to those other ones. It also allows us to maintain compliance settings across all the computers within our organization, and of course provides the basis for easy app provisioning. And Active Directory is going to play an important part as we move forward. Because when we think about that intelligent infrastructure, which is the ability to deliver the appropriate app to the appropriate device at any time, Active Directory is going to be the centricity of that security principle. And when we think about the different types of apps that we can deliver, if you look at the top row here, We have device optimized apps, right? These are ones that come from the Apple store. These are ones that come from the Android store. And we can use Active Directory, because it now syncs with Intune and now through Windows Azure AD. We can select what type of apps we want to deliver from any of those stores to our end user on whatever device they're on. And we also think about web apps, right? And these are generally HTML5 apps. And interestingly enough, at Microsoft, that's kind of the philosophy we take for internal line of business application development now, is develop that app in HTML5, and that way we can ensure that it can be deployed on whatever device we want, because it's kind of device agnostic. And then we have our virtual desktop snaps. And think of this as, you know, we have a lot of tools in here where we think about RDS, we think about VDI, AppV, to, you know, deliver just the keyboard, video, and mouse experience to that device or stream the app, and then that goes away once that connection is severed. So data never resides on the end device. Some of the technologies that we've already seen that enable this intelligent infrastructure is, first off, Windows Intune. We just released the latest version of that here in June. And some of the things that, and we're going to do a demo of this here in just a minute. Some of the things that came out in this June release, one was the ability for mobile device management. So Android, Windows Phone, essentially anything but RIM, we have the ability to set policy on now through Windows Intune. We also have the ability to sync Windows Intune to our on-premises Active Directory, so we can actually pull groups from our on-premises AD to determine what type of applications they have access to, and also our device management. And that's kind of the third part for the Windows Intune release, is aggregating all those different stores through the Windows Intune application portal and delivering it to that device. Also available, we announced at TechEd US, is Configuration Manager SP1, the technology preview of that. And the big things here for System Center 2012 is Windows 8 support, as well as Macintosh support. So we're going to bring our evil IT pro from the 90s. He actually has a monocle and a cat. He actually... Yeah, so we're going to show how this new intelligent application infrastructure supports consumerization.
Okay. So what I wanted to do... You see that? I want to pull back the curtain a little bit on the first demo. How did we enable some of those things? How did we deploy that Metro-style app and that iPhone application to the machine? I want to start with ConfigMan. Here's the Configuration Manager 2012 console, and there's a couple of things that I want to point out here. I'll start with by going in to create an application. If I were to add a new application that I want to deploy, just because I want to show the options that are available. Windows installer, the classic MSI file that you're used to, is there. Notice also, as Ward just mentioned, macOS, it's a new announcement. We're excited about it. Anybody interested? No, nobody? Oh, okay. Well, we at Contoso, because we enable users to bring their own devices, are very excited about this ability to deploy macOS apps. You can see some of the other choices there. AppV, things like that, are all integrated. Now, I'll just back out of here and talk a little bit more about this expenses app and what's actually enabled here, because I want to show something kind of interesting. If I bring up the properties for this Metro-style application, you saw, if you've paid a lot of attention to the Windows, the announcements that we've made around Windows 8 and the Metro-style applications, you've heard that all the applications are installable just from the store. That the Microsoft Store is where you get those from. When we have ConfigMan, we actually have the flexibility to choose those things. If you'll notice here, this application is being deployed from an internal distribution point. We're deploying it from the corporate network. We're not requiring that trip to the Microsoft Store in order to install that. The other thing that we were doing, Ward talked about intelligent infrastructure. ConfigMan knows this is a Metro-style app, and that knows that that means there's a Windows 8 dependency in order to run that. So it's automatically specified that only Windows 8 machines should be deploying this particular version of the app. The other thing that we're doing, if I go to deployments, we can see who I'm deploying the application to. The two groups that you can see there at the bottom of the screen, managers and sales, those are Active Directory groups. Like Ward said, Active Directory is at the center of what we do. You've already got all your users, all your groups in one place. Why recreate those? Why leverage yet another directory? Let's take advantage of what everybody's already got deployed and is using. So this is how we can use Configuration Manager to do these deployments to our internal machines. But how did we do the iPhone stuff? How did we do that deployment? And for that, I'm going to switch to my Intune machine. And we'll see, given the excitement of the network today, how well this works. All right, so this is the, where am I at? Here's my Intune login. And you can see from here a couple of things. First thing I'll do is go in and show my users. And what you can see here, again, we didn't have to create all these user accounts. Because of Windows Azure Active Directory, these are being synchronized from my Contoso domain. Automatically created these accounts for these users in Intune. The other thing that I can do here, notice I've got the manager and the sales groups. Again, I didn't need to create those groups. It's already all in Active Directory. We just replicate that to the cloud. The other thing I can do here is go into devices. And you can see if the devices that are actually on the network. You can see there's some iOS devices. Had anybody with an Android connected, we'd see a list of all the devices that are coming into the network. So we can start to see what's popular and who's using them. The next thing I'll do is go into applications and show what does that look like? How do we put that application in? So we go over here to the applications. Here under software, if I go to manage software, there's that expense approvals app that you saw, and I'll just show you what the, if I go here to manage deployment, you can see what this looks like. Again, which groups did we choose to deploy it to? We're deploying it to sales, because they're the ones that create all the expenses, and then managers, because they're the ones that need to approve it. So that's who we deploy those to. And then, the other thing that we can do in addition to who to deploy to, how do we make it available? Again, these aren't our devices. They're not corporate devices, so I can't force software onto them, but I can make them available. I have the option of making these applications available so users can choose to install them on their devices. And we'll finish there. It takes just a minute for it to process, and it makes that change for us. So the other thing that I want to show is policies. That's one thing for us to say, yeah, we want our users to use their devices, but we do want to make sure there's some level of security and integrity here. Do we want to just let any device in, or do we want to say, look, we're only going to allow you to use your device if you've got it set with a password, things like that. Let me show you what our policies look like. I've just got this basic, I've got one policy here that we kind of use by default.
This is hands down my favorite feature of Intune.
And here's some of the things that we can set. Do I want to require a password for users to access the device? I can control how long that password is. If I want to be a bastard operator, I could say there's a 256 character password length. Notice we also just here, we can set the number of repeated sign-in failures before we just wipe the device. So if you want to test that wipe function, give someone a very long, complex password and see how many times they get it wrong before we wipe the device. We can also enable encryption there at the bottom of the screen. You can see, so we can say, hey, only allow this device if it actually keeps the data encrypted locally on the device. There's a lot of stuff we can do to control what we're doing with that device.
You know, my favorite setting has to be on the one on top there, which is if the device does not meet any of these standards, it's not allowed into the network.
Yeah, and we can control that. We can say, go ahead and let them in. We're going to audit because we want to see who's compliant. Or we can just say, yeah, if your machine, we can go ahead and make these changes for you over your machine if you want access. A couple other interesting ones here at the bottom. We can actually turn on and off hardware on the device. So we can say, look, we don't want you using the camera on your device because we don't want you taking pictures of sensitive Project Cosmo work and then having it automatically upload to Facebook, for example. So quite a few different settings we can work with here. Okay, so you get an idea what we can do with Intune. I'm going to switch back here to show you one other thing. We've shown you how we can manage some devices in different ways. And we've shown you how we can manage devices with Intune. One of the other things we want to do is how do we maintain the integrity of our data regardless of where it goes. So when we showed that video, we talked about the woman who thought she was being smart by putting documents in her Dropbox or SkyDrive so she could work on them at home. And if you're not really familiar with how you're doing those, you put them in the wrong folder, they end up in the public folder on Dropbox, and anybody can get them. So let me show you some of the things that are in Server 2012 that we're using here at Contoso to mitigate issues like that. How can we automatically make sure that documents have the right protection on them? And we do that with a technology called Dynamic Access Control.
I don't think you're up yet.
In Server 2012. You guys can't see that? Everybody just come gather around my screen here.
There we go.
So I'm in the File Server Resource Manager, which is a new console for Server 2012. And what I want to show here, you can see quota management and things that you're used to. We've got this new concept of classification management and file management, and that's what I want to show you. Now, earlier Ward talked about business impact and how we rank documents on how important they are to our business and what the impact is if those documents are lost or exposed, or if those guys at Fabricam or Wingtip Toys find out about them. So what we're going to do is set up some auto-classification for documents. I want to say, hey, any document that's Project Cosmo related, I want it automatically marked as high impact. All this data is stored in the directory. The metadata stays with the file when it's on our file shares to say this has been marked as a high impact project. I just have this one rule. Let me bring up the properties on it so you can see what it looks like. Basically, I've scoped it to any documents on our data share. But here's the important part. I've said, hey, I want to do a content classifier. So I'm looking for a particular piece of content in a document. If it contains that, I want you to set a new property called impact, and I want to set that to high. And what is it I'm looking for? I'm looking for any document with the word Project Cosmo in it. We've got office filters there. The file system is just going to watch for any files that are created with that word in them. I'm going to automatically set metadata on that file to say high business impact. So what do I do with that? What do we do? Well, we've got a bunch of files marked as high business. Is there anything else interesting we can do with that? Yeah, we can do file management tasks. And if I bring this up, what you'll see is I have the ability to say any documents that have been marked as high business impact, I want you to take an action. That action is rights management encryption. So you guys are familiar with rights management services for Office? Do not forward, do not print, do not all those kind of things you can do with a document. We're going to automatically apply those. Any documents that are Project Cosmo documents, automatically set rights management on them. In this case, we're just going to flag that you have to be authenticated as a Contoso user in order to read that document. So we can mitigate, you know, the risk of if somebody does put that on their SkyDrive folder or in their Dropbox, goes out into the wild. No one's going to be able to open it unless they're a Contoso employee because they'll be prompted for their credentials. So there's a little bit about behind the curtain on how I've gone from being Dr. No to being being an enabler of users to do their work.
I still like to think of you with the monocle and the cat, no matter
what.
I may
or may not have a monocle and a cat. All right, back to you.
All right, so what we saw there was a little bit on how Configuration Manager can provide a one-stop shopping experience for deploying our applications within our network, how Intune and its new capabilities actually sync with on-premises Active Directory to provide the same application experience from multiple different stores. And in addition, we also saw how Intune now has the ability to set policies on a wide range of different devices. And again, my favorite setting was once we, you know, I want this number of passwords, this number of character length, it's going to remotely wipe, and I want it encrypted. But if it doesn't meet any of these requirements, it's not even allowed in the network. It's not even allowed to sync. So that allows us to, you know, we kind of talked about that notion of taking the identity and the device capabilities, and then that will determine which level of files they have access to. And, of course, we can encrypt those files, so even if they do leave the network, nothing's going to happen. All right, so Microsoft Desktop Virtualization. This is kind of the umbrella that we use to talk about a wide range of different technologies we have to deliver the right application to the right device. So thinking about the different ones that we have for virtual desktops and applications to local desktops, starting over here, the first one is Microsoft VDI. For those of you who have not implemented, let me reverse that. How many people here implement VDI within their organization? Wow. You know, it's really, thank you. It's very surprising the difference between when I talk to the U.S. and Europe, especially, I mean, I've never seen that many hands. So congratulations to those of you who are implementing VDI. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised with the changes that we're making in Windows Server 2012 with respect to VDI, most notably around our remote FX, where we now optimize the WAN. We have USB redirection, as well as still delivering that high-fidelity user experience, so they get that local-like experience with Windows, Aero, Glass, 3D, et cetera. We also have Remote App, which is used in conjunction. Sometimes we don't want to deliver the entire desktop, but just one specific application. And we're going to show here in a demo how Windows Server 2012 can just deliver the keyboard, video, and mouse for one specific app. We also have new technologies, UEV, which just came out as part of our MDOT package. And what that allows us to do is really do user state right. I think back to my early days as an IT admin and using ntuser.dat and ntuser.man to make sure people's settings could potentially roam or I could potentially lock them down. We then went to folder redirection when we introduced Windows Vista and Windows 7. But it was never quite there. There was always a little bit something missing. And I think you'll see with UEV that we take all of the user's state and are able to successfully redirect that to other computers that they log on to. And it's not just their user state, you know, which theme and which documents they have, but we can even transfer application settings, like what are my preferences in Adobe for font size, for example. And then, of course, some of the new technologies that we're offering on the local desktop is the new hypervisor for the client. And, of course, right now, the use case scenarios for that are largely around test and dev. I think the uber takeaway here is when we think about, you know, RDS, when we think about VDI, we think about remote app, UEV, and AppV, there's a lot of tools in the Microsoft toolbox that allow you to deliver applications securely to a wide range of different devices. And Adam, I see he's now lost the monocle and cat. We're going to now come up and show an example of some of the desktop virtualization technologies with Windows Server 2012.
Okay.
Here we go.
So I saw a few hands go up around VDI, which is great. I'm just curious, has anybody done or attempted to do a Microsoft-only VDI solution? No Citrix, no. A couple of hands. As the product marketing manager for VDI, I'm sorry. For those of you not familiar, it is possible. There's a great white paper out to tell you how to use Virtual Machine Manager and Server 2008 R2 and do VDI. It's about 100 pages long, and are you guys familiar with Choose Your Own Adventure books? Did you have those here? Where it says, okay, the next thing you need to do is configure the remote access web gateway. Turn to page 45 on how to do that. And you'd flip through this white paper to page 45, follow those steps, and you'd go back and it would say, now you need to configure the gateway. Turn to page 56 to configure the gateway. So you could go through this process, there was this white paper, and a week later it might work or it might not. But let me show you how we've improved it in Server 2012 and made it very easy for you to get VDI up and running. What we have here on the screen now is the new Server 2012 Server Manager. This machine, I really haven't done any additional configuration to. I installed Hyper-V because that saves us a reboot later. But I want to show you the process that we go through now to deploy remote desktop sessions or VDI. I'm going to go here to add new roles and features. And I get a couple of options here, role-based and feature-based installations. That brings up the list you're familiar with from Server 2008 where I can check boxes for the things that I want. And I've got this new option here, Remote Desktop Services Installation. That's what I'm going to select because it's going to take all of those configuration tasks, all those services that need to be installed and configured, and do it for me. I have a choice between a standard and a quick start deployment. I'm going to do a quick start because it really gets rid of a lot of the questions I would normally be asked. It's going to deploy all of the services, configure everything on a single server, and set up a VDI pool for me automatically. So a couple other questions. Do I want to do virtual machines or sessions? Remote desktop sessions, what we used to call terminal services. We'll do virtual machines because that's the new hotness. That's what people are interested in. So it's just asking me which machine do I want to install on. I'll say the local machine that I'm on right here. It's going to do a quick inspection of the machine. What does it need to do to configure that? Is IIS already installed for the web gateway? Is Hyper-V already installed? Are any of the other remote desktop virtualization services already enabled? It's going to go out and figure out what it needs to configure on this machine. And then the next question it's going to ask me is, because you're doing VDI, where's that base image that you want to use as your pool image? Now, I've already got one created here. This is our standard Contoso desktop image in a VHD file. It's already been sysprepped. It's got things like UEV installed in it. So I'm going to click that, click open, click next. Here's a summary of the services that are going to be installed. All I do is click yes, go ahead and restart if you need to, and hit deploy. And I'm done. It's that easy. I come back in 10 minutes. My system is already up and running. We don't have 10 minutes to wait, so I'm going to switch to one I baked earlier today for you guys and show you what the result is. Notice I've got a new option here that says remote desktop services. Here's a nice diagram showing me here's all the services, where they're configured, how they're done. As I said, it created this quick virtual machine pool for us. I can see here's the pool with just one machine. I've also set up session hosting and published a couple of applications out just to give us something a little more interesting to look at. And I'm just going to do a quick test here of the what it looks like from the web console to make sure it looks like it's working okay. Gotta type my password.
If I had a nickel for every time I misspelled administrator, I would.
All right. So it looks like it's working here. I can see a few applications and things. Looks like it's fine for me, but the real test of VDI is going to be how well does it work for my users. It doesn't matter if I think it's great. If users decide that it's too slow or doesn't work, then it's never going to get anywhere within the company. So Wardle, I want you to come here and test drive this experience. I'll have you borrow my machine, because this could be any machine. We're going to deliver your corporate desktop. Could be your machine at home. Could be a machine you're borrowing. So I'll have you go from mine.
Okay.
Now, I went through the web portal, but I want to show you a different way that's available in Windows 8 to get to your VDI instance. So go ahead and go to the Start menu.
And I logged off of that machine over there, too.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Now, you can see we've got a remote desktop icon here on the desktop. That's an app you can install from the store. It's this nice Metro application. And the first thing it's going to do is say, how do you want to access your corporate desktops? Let's go ahead and pick that top option. I want to access remote desktops. Now, this worked in Windows 7. We had that same remote app. And it was a Start menu thing, and you had to give users this long XML feed URL to where their documents were. One of the nice things we've done here at Contoso, or sorry, not nice thing at Contoso, one of the things Microsoft has done with the new remote desktop app is enabled users to just know their email address, and we will go and fetch that URL for them. Now, you're actually in the FLA subdomain, so that's probably going to fail. See, you're getting ahead of me, Ward.
Sorry.
I'll tell you what to do.
Sorry, administrator. What do you want me to do? Ward of Contoso?
FLA.contoso.com.
Ward.
Users
FLA.
Do have to know their email address, which is easier than a big long URL feed.
Oh, there we go.
All right, so it's discovered that feed for you. Now it's just asking you for your credentials. FLA. Yep. Your password is dot, 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 dot. And you can even check, remember my credentials there. You won't have to do a login. So it's found the desktop that was published for you and a couple of those applications. So there they are. You can go into this remote desktop app. Let me show you something else that's cool. Go back to your Start menu. Scroll over to the right there. The applications are integrated right here. So we can get to those applications right from here. I don't have to remember an extra step on where to get to those remote apps. They're all seamless. Now we've got your desktop published. Go ahead and go into your personal desktop there, Ward. And let's test what this experience is like for you. Let's see if this is going to work for you. And because UEV is installed, you can see there your desktop icon. We've already got your daily commuter. Looks like background wallpaper's been set. Let's do a couple of things. I don't know if the browser's going to work, but fire up the browser. We should have, we can get to. Again, your settings, you had your home directory already set. That's there. One of the other things that's kind of interesting, I know.
My favorites. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, your favorites are there. Something that's I wouldn't normally condone users play games. Go ahead and go to your favorites. I think you've got cut the rope in your favorites, right? I don't know if the internet is back. We may or may not do this demo.
Does anyone have internet, by the way?
Apparently it's down for the whole show right now.
Awesome.
There is a session after this where I'm really only scratching the surface of what's available in VDI, in specifically in the RDP protocol and RemoteFX, RemoteFX is now the brand for the whole user experience. There's actually a session right after this one. I'll race you guys. I'll be in there. It's in Hall 9B, where we'll go into this in more detail. But you saw your documents were there. We made your productivity instantly available. What do you think so far?
I got to say, the first time I ever saw this demo was just a little over a month ago, and I was insanely impressed by the delivery in Windows 8.
Yeah. Now, another thing that has been greatly improved is, people want to be able to access their devices. If I'm sitting at home and need to print something, I should just be able to use my local printer, or really any USB device at home, right? Scanners, printers. We've enabled that as well. So really, any USB device you could throw at this system, we can redirect into this remote session.
Cool.
Do you have one there?
I happen to carry my barcode scanner with me everywhere I go.
Wow, that's incredibly convenient. All right, fine. Really, any USB device. Go ahead and plug that in. Just plugged it in here. That device is going to be remoted and available within that remote session. Now, as it turns out, it's true. Ward really does go everywhere with his barcode scanner. So I took the liberty of printing a couple of barcodes and putting them here on the desktop. Do you want to scan those and see if they look like they are going to work for you? One of them? Yeah? Woo! All right. Could have been any USB device. Like I said, if you come to the... I keep plugging this other session. There is a great RDP session coming up next. Show you some other wacky, wild things you can do. Once you get one of these barcode scanners, anything you see, you can't help but scan everything that's out there. Do you scan
I'm
your own
for
badge?
Stuff up here.
That's his attendee number, apparently. He scanned his badge. All right. So I showed you how, as an IT administrator, it was very easy for me to get a VDI deployment up and running. You saw, Ward as a user was able to use that system very easily. The performance and things were great, so we had a good experience there. Got a great solution coming. I'm going to go sit back down. I'll let you wrap up.
All right. Okay, as we saw through our demos, and again, I apologize for the connectivity. It looks like that's going to be an issue moving forward today. But I think we, have shown like the framework for enabling consumerization, right? It starts with the user, the security principal. That's the only one left in Active Directory, and then it extends to user and device management and finding that balance of control and governance over the devices that you choose within your network, and then it's taking those two the security principal and the device capabilities, and then determining what data they have access to. And, of course, taking that data, ensuring the encryption of that data before or while or after it leaves the network is also critical to this whole consumerization strategy. So as you move forward, and as you think about the tools and technologies and processes you need to put in place, think about, is consumerization the right choice for my organization? And how do I ensure that I do it with integrity? And from the show of hands earlier today, it looks like a lot of you are well on the path to consumerization, and it's going to continue to proliferate in the coming years. I would also deeply urge you, for those of you who have not deployed System Center 2012 yet, to go ahead and download the trial and start kicking the tires on that, especially around Configuration Manager and the application portal. And if you go to windowsintune.com, you can sign up for a free 30-day account and start seeing what it really means for mobile device management and delivering applications from different stores. And, of course, the benefit is, you're going to enable your organization. Users are going to be happier and more productive. I'd also... end with, mentioning again that this is the 200 level session on consumerization of IT. There are a lot of other sessions that go deeper into the 300 level that will actually on each one of these specific technologies to allow you to get an even deeper understanding of what this means for your organization, as well as the hands-on lab. And we have a very well-versed staff down in the booth to answer any of your questions around anything you've seen today. We also have a plethora of resources available around consumerization of IT. As a matter of fact, there were so many available that we actually created a special link that goes right to the TechNet Center that has all of the specific resources around Intune, System Center, consumerization strategy there. And of course, these slides will be available for those of you who don't want to write down that URL. And last but not least, as always, we want to hear how we're doing and how we can better provide you a better experience outside of setting up our own internet. And you know, with that, I'd like to end where I started, and that's with my name, Ward Ralston, wardr@microsoft.com. If there's any questions, again, that I went over today, absolutely feel empowered to reach out to me, and I'll point you in the right direction. So with that, I thank you for your time and really hope you have a great TechEd experience. Thank you.